A very, very good morning to you as you settle in to worship here this morning. We're so thankful for the sun shining outside and so thankful for each of you gathering here in this place to join in worship and to learn more about our walk with the Lord. We just want to highlight the men's ministry this coming Saturday. They'll have their prayer breakfast at 7 a.m. at Blue Star, followed by 8 a.m. Camp Swatara Ball Paul Bunyan Workday. So men, be sure to come out for the prayer breakfast and then stick around for the Camp Swatara Paul Bunyan Workday. Any other related announcements in that regards? And we do need a count for that. So if you just want to see Bud, or is there a sign-up sheet? Just see Bud and let him know that you'll be coming out to that event, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. We also just want to highlight, you'll notice a purple, pink colored insert, and that is the Art of Marriage. This is a kind of a knockoff in video format of the Weekend to Remember. Many of us were attending this weekend, and that is March 31st to April 1st. But even if you don't sign up for the Art of Marriage, we want to highlight the inside. This is very important for the Art of Marriage to be a successful event. And beginning today, it's a challenge for us. It's a 40-day prayer guide, and we would encourage you to come alongside the Art of Marriage and pray. And the most important part of marriages and successful marriage conferences is those prayers. So please take this with you and join us in prayer for the Art of Marriage event. And Denise is in the back, ready for sign-ups. You can sign up at any time, and it's just $50 a couple, and that includes all your workbooks and everything you need for the event. So we look forward to that Art of Marriage event taking place here soon. We also just want to highlight, if you're interested in ordering subs, it's that time, and the deadline is February 26th, so please be sure to sign up in the narthex on the table for your sub orders, and we greatly appreciate you taking that time to do so. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning before we greet one another and have a call to worship? Let's rise and greet one another and welcome them to the fellowship this morning, and we'll have a call to worship. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Would you join me in our call to worship? Holy Spirit, fall upon this place. Have your way with us.
We surrender this time to fully worship you.
We know the week behind us and the challenges and joys we faced.
We rest in your peace and lift up your most holy name in praise.
Let us awake and arise to this brand new day with gladness, knowing we are yours. Amen.
I'm
Invite you at this time to share in any joys or concerns as we prepare for this morning's pastoral prayer. You'll always notice in your bulletin a list of prayer concerns, and we encourage you to contact the office or contact me, and we'll be glad to add more prayer concerns to that list. And just keep that near to your heart each day as you lift up your prayers. And we encourage you to share any joys or concerns you may have. I know we had 6 couples at the weekend to remember, and it's such a joy being able to just live in that moment as married couples and enhance what God has brought together. And so we appreciate the opportunity to be part of Weekends to Remember. Yes. Way to share the love. Amen. Any others this morning? It's comforting to know we can approach a God in prayer and He hears our prayer. So be encouraged as you pray that you are speaking with God who hears those. Let's pray. Father, we are overcome with joy knowing that you are a God that meets us where we are. You know precisely the moment we are living in. And we are just so thankful, God, that you don't let us alone, that you continually remind us that your presence is with us. And we just thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit and the direction and guidance that he provides us in our lives. We do know, Father, the healing touch that you have placed upon so many individuals during your earthly ministry. And we just pray, Father, recognizing you as the master physician, that if it would be your will, anyone that's struggling with illness, you would allow a healing touch to be upon them. And we just trust your will. We are surrendered to your will. And we know that in all things you cause good. And we don't always understand. But Father, we're just praying for us to support one another, to care for one another as we go through difficult seasons in our lives. We think of Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye, and Earl, and Carol, and Pete, and Bonnie, and Lauren, and Ruth, and our sister Lugva, and Glenn, and Joanne from our first service, and Donna, and Barb. And we just pray, Father, your comfort upon them. We pray your encouragement upon them as they go through different avenues of struggles, different dealings in life, that we know you're with them. And so, Father, we know that there's times that we question, what are you doing in our life? But, Father, we just ask that you would give us peace. You would give us assurance, knowing these things in this life are only temporary. But, Father, we know you call each of us to uplift and to encourage each other, to bring comfort in numerous ways. And we're just praying, Father, that you would stir us and move us to continue to love well one another. And we just thank you, Father, for just your continued presence in our lives, for the way you move us to share our faith and to be encouraging and lend a helping hand in just so many overwhelming ways that you have called us to be brothers and sisters and to be friends with this world in a way that shows your love. And so, Father, we just come before you. We know we've sinned this week. There's many mistakes we've made, and we're just asking you to cleanse us, to give us a clean slate, knowing that we're free and we have freedom in your Son who paid the price for those sins on the cross. So we just come before you now and just ask you to stir us to confess those sins and also to lift up any personal prayers we may have. Father, we just pray for stillness. We pray for peace in our lives. We pray every moment of every day we're seeking after you. We're longing to draw closer to you. Forgive us for those times we've become selfish and consumed with our own desires. We long to live this life for you, to make your name known among these nations. And just thank you for that opportunity to be vessels, to be used of you. And we pray your power over each person in this room, that whatever they're going through right now, that they would know comfort, they would know peace, and they would know your will in their lives. And we just surrender to that and ask you, Father, to continually impress upon us the need to love and to love more and more as we go through this world. And we know not when you'll return, but we want to be ready for that day. And so thank you, Father, for being with us in this place and through our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very beautiful. Thank you. As our offertory thought, it comes from Matthew, from Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And we know that our God is a faithful God as we are faithful to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for each giver here this morning. We thank you that you call us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and we gladly and cheerfully do so. We pray, Father, that you would indeed throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there wouldn't be room enough to store it. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, and we trust you in this moment to allow us to bless you. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. We invite the deacons to come forward for deacon dedication this morning, and we'll begin with these words. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has directed the church to set apart deacons to look after identified needs and to labor for the spiritual unity and growth of the members of Christ's body. Those called to this office are people whose commitment and faithfulness have been proven in relationship to the local fellowship of believers. They have a spiritual mind, are open and responsive to the Holy Spirit, and carefully exercise wisdom and sound judgment while being faithful and loyal to Christ and the church. The Little Swatara congregation, having full confidence in the faithfulness, loyalty, wisdom, and spiritual integrity of those before us, according to the practice of the Church of the Brethren, have called them to be deacons. Inasmuch as the church has called you to be deacons, I now ask you to respond to the following questions. Do you declare anew your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ? If so, say, yes, I do. Will you seek to cultivate more fervently your spiritual life by Bible reading, meditation, prayer, and Christian witnessing? And if so, say, with God's help, I will. Will you encourage and lead the congregation in deepening its spiritual life and its ministries of compassion? If so, say, I will. Will you seek to be a good example in faith and conduct? If so, say, I will. Do you then accept the call to the ministry of deacon in this body of Christ and promise to perform faithfully all the duties thereof? If so, please say, I do. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, you have come in Jesus Christ not to be served, but to serve. Now we set apart and consecrate these, your servants, to this ministry of deacon, that they may serve in your name. Grant them deep compassion for human needs. Fill them with tender care and steadfast love for those for whom Christ died. Inspire them with devotion to your church. Grant them growth in faith, that they may lead others by precept and example. Grant to the church the grace to work with them for the increase of faith and caring within the fellowship. Sustain them in their labors. Through Christ we pray. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are now set apart in the sacred ministry of deacons. Serve God and this congregation faithfully and courageously, and may God bless you in your service. Would the congregation please rise? On your bulletin, there's an insert with a congregational response as we set apart these individuals as deacons. We, the members of this body of Christ, in the spirit of joy and in renewed loyalty to our Lord, acknowledge and receive you as deacons. We promise to pray for you and support you in confidence, encouragement, cooperation, and prayers, that together we may increase in the knowledge and the love of God manifested to us in Jesus Christ. Would you please join us in singing Spirit of the Living God, one of the most important facets of being a deacon, realizing the Spirit guides and leads you in your ministries.
Hey, can the children come forward for the children's story? Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Graham, sit up. Okay. Ooh, this is a big group. Did you know we were going to eat today?
Yay!
Yay! How about, does anybody know what this is? What is this? A lemon, you're right. Lemons are super, super good, aren't they? Mm-mm. Who here has eaten a lemon? You've eaten a lemon? You like it?
Well, I taste.
You do?
I tasted the lemon.
Yeah.
It's sour.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. What kind of things do we eat that lemons are made from?
Lemon.
Perfect.
And
I love Chick-fil-A lemonade. What?
Water.
Well, some people do put lemon in their water for flavor. You're right. What else?
Lemonade.
Juliana just said lemonade. Anybody else know anything that we eat that is made with lemons? How about lemon bars?
Lemon pie.
Lemon meringue pie. I love it. Do you love that? You know what? I do put a little lemon in my apple pie to make it tart. Lemons are a wonderful thing. So you know what? Let's take a taste. Come on, let's taste some. Here. Pass a napkin out. Can you guys pass napkins out?
We're going to taste a lemon.
Can you pass a napkin? Here you go. Here you go, napkin. Give one to Chloe. Here you go, girls. Okay.
Are we gonna eat
yummy. Let's get a lemon.
Here.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I thought I handed some over there. Here you go.
I have two.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Chloe. Thanks.
Here.
You need more?
Are those sort of not sour?
Oh, they're wonderful. Here, pick one. Okay, here.
Can we eat them?
Well, hold on to it first. Hold on to it till everybody gets one. Thanks, LJ. Can you take a lemon there? Oh, they're yellow and they're juicy. They're a citrus, just like oranges. Who here doesn't like an orange? Lucas, did you get one? You got one? Here you go.
I don't have one.
He said, who doesn't like
who doesn't? We all love oranges. Here, hurry.
I have two.
Don't eat it yet.
Don't eat it yet.
I have two.
Okay.
Here you go. I have two.
Okay, honey. That's okay. Here you go. Can you get one? Okay. Here you go. Do you want one? Sweetie, do you want one? Okay. All right, look at them. They're yellow and juicy and yummy. All right, I'll warn you. Just put it to your tongue. What do you think?
Yum.
You like it? Go ahead, Graham. Take a bite. Take a bite. Yeah, you get it. You get it. It's pretty yucky. Here, put it back in the bowl. You like it? Oh, Anthony, that's a good thing. Okay, then. All those who like that don't get one of these. Here you go. Take one of these. Here. Just take one. Okay, put it on your napkin. Put it on your napkin. Here you go. Here you go, boys. Come on. Here you go, Lucas. You really ate your lemon?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Here you go. Well, you guys are resilient. Here you go.
I don't really like it.
Well, good for you, Chloe, because you know why? Now, when you get one of these, put this in your mouth and you really can eat it. Put that in your mouth and chew it and tell me what's the difference. Did you get one, Olivia? Okay, put that one in your mouth. Okay, no. Okay, put that in your mouth and chew it. Okay, what's the difference between the first and the last one? What's the difference, Graham?
The last one is not that sour. The first
because what's on it?
Salt.
Sugar's what's on it. I like to think of, no. I like to think that God is the sugar of life. We can have situations that are sour and leave us mad, but you know there's an old saying that if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Add a little sugar to your situation, and there you go. So pull from that love of God in your heart and make yourself some lemonade. All right, here's a piece of candy to go. I hope you remember this story. Put your trash in here. Everybody put trash in there. Okay, first ones to put trash in, get the candy first. Okay. All right, so remember the story. When things are not going your way, add some sugar.
How many do all of us get?
Okay. All right, thanks very much. Did you get one on the candy?
I'm waiting for you.
Okay. Get one, Olivia? Did you get one, Chloe? You got one, sweetie. Okay, let's get those out of here.
When you've been married as long as I have, you learn a few things. What's really important in love? It's the gifts. Yeah. Love, it is words, it's poetry, it's music, just because.
No, love is a simple nod in the direction of the person that you love. That is true love. You don't have to say anything, you just go, that's love. That's how love is.
Oh, you're a real Don Juan.
He broke up with me.
You don't want to get her lingerie because, well, that just comes across as selfish.
Do you remember what you said to me that won me over? Remember that night?
What did he say?
It was New Year's Eve and he didn't want to come to this party. And then all of a sudden, there he is. He runs up to me and says, I came here tonight because when you realize that you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
So I hate to burst this love bubble, but that was straight out of When Harry Met Sally.
Who's Harry? Who's Sally?
I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is you make me want to be a better man.
Still moving.
Love is it's community, you know? It's local. We create pyramids that are so universal to make this life stand as it is today. And that makes up the human structure.
When are you moving out, Austin? When I feel like it, all right?
Just look at me. Just look at me and say, Doreen, I love you because of blank.
All right.
Doreen, I love you because of blank.
Don't get her anything that forces you to ask her size. And whatever you do, don't guesstimate her size.
I want to turn your bedroom into my gym!
You will not do that! That is my room! That is my space! God, I miss my space. Tom was my first friend. You remember Tom? Remember? I love Tom.
I loved him. I gave him the best 2 weeks of my life.
That first anniversary, we had no money to buy cards, so we scrounged up all the coins that we could find, and we bought ourselves a Snickers bar. We put it on our best plates, and we sat at that little kitchen table. We ate like royalty. Still to this day, whenever there's an anniversary or Valentine's or just because, we celebrate the same way. And it's in these moments that I think about love, our love, the ups and the downs. And I thank God that she said yes to a guy like me.
Love can be wonderful. Love can be fantastic. Love can also be incredibly painful. We recognize in our lives, as we're married, as we raise children, as we relate to one another, love takes work. But as we love, we know the foundation upon which we build that love is Jesus Christ. For we know that God first loved us. He sent his son, his only son, to die for us. And what an expression of love that we can hold fast to, that we can long to exemplify in our lives. But love has its challenges. Love sometimes requires great patience, as our verse will speak of this morning. And so if you have your Bible with you, in 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter, Paul's greatest literary work. And it describes to us what love is really like. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, when you look at that very first verse, speaking in the tongue of men and of angels, that's a pretty fantastic thing to be able to do. But even if we can do those things and do not have love, we're just a noise. We're just a sound. We're not truly making a difference. Verse 2, even to have the gift of prophecy, to fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And we realize those are some powerful, powerful words there. The gift of prophecy during Paul's time was something to grab hold of, something the Corinthians would often boast about, because they would fathom mysteries and they would have knowledge. Faith in an allegorical sense of being able to move mountains. But even with all of that, without love, they were still nothing. I think we're beginning to understand more and more the importance of love. The reason love must be something characterized of us as Christians. And we know there's going to be days where it's more difficult than others to love our spouse, to love our parents, to love our children. But consider the difference in the world when we can take nothing and turn it into something with God's help, recognizing the power in love. It goes on, if I give, listen to these words, if I give all, not just a little, not 99%, if I give all I possess to the poor. And it goes on, surrender my body to the flames, an ultimate act of sacrifice, but have not love, I gain nothing. Friends, love is critical. Love is crucial. Love is what characterizes the life of the Christian. Without it, we are nothing. We gain nothing. So if you're struggling this morning, wondering, how can I possibly love this person? First and foremost, we must turn to God and realize that God is love, and it's because of God being love that we too can love. He demonstrated in the most powerful way by sending his son on a cross. Many of us might verbally say, you know, I'd be willing to lay my life down for you. But I wonder if that moment would actually come, how many of us would follow through in that act of love, sacrificing ourselves for the benefit of another? Friends, we know that Jesus Christ did exactly that. And there's no more overwhelming love that we can begin to experience than in that moment on the cross. Because we recognize his death did something incredibly beautiful for our lives. It took those sin stains and removed them once and for all. And so I'm convinced one of the greatest ways for us to be able to love is to be able to remove those sins ongoing. Because we know sin gets in the way of loving. And then in verse 4, it begins to describe love. And right away, it gives you the most incredible word, patient. Love is patient. Now, I'm sure already today, we've been challenged with patience. Perhaps it started at the home if you have children, waiting for them to get ready to come to church, hoping that your wife decides on that outfit she's going to wear, hoping that her hair is done the way she hopes it to be done before you start to go out the door, because we realize patience carries a lot of weight. Not W-E-I-G-H-T, but W-A-I-T. And waiting isn't very popular for us. You can imagine in life the amount of times that we've had to wait. Culture just more and more seems to say, because of the busyness in your lives, waiting is not an option. We have to have instant. It has to be now. But think of the beauty in waiting. Think of the things that have come to pass because you were willing to wait. I'll share my love story with Denise. We dated 3 different times. I waited. She wasn't ready, but I waited. And I knew if this was God's plan for my life to have a spouse like Denise, it's worth the wait. And the 3rd time indeed was the charm, even though she had the rule never to date the same guy again. 18 years later, I realized the reason she didn't want to date me over and over again, and I won't share that. You can ask me personally sometime. It was a teenage issue, let's just say that. But love is patient, it waits. And when we wait upon people, it's really, really intense what can come out of that waiting. I think God designed the female body to have that 9 months, that anticipation of that new life that's going to come forth. Imagine some of those 9 months were rather intense for many of you and very painful. But if that waiting would have never happened, imagine that new life that wouldn't have come forth. We're beginning to see those little sprouts out in the gardens. Is anyone noticing those? Flowers are starting to begin to bloom, and we know springtime is upon us. But we have to wait. We have to endure the winter months. But that waiting is worth it. And so wherever you are this morning when it comes to patience, maybe it's something you're lacking. Maybe it's something you pray for, and people tell you, oh, no, don't pray for patience. But you know, God's doing something in that. When you pray for patience, he'll put trials before you to help you develop that attribute. And patience is listed first in this list of characteristics of love for a reason. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, realizes just how much we struggle with patience. It goes on, it says, love is kind. Love is kind. A kind person is willing to help someone else regardless of their status. A kind person is willing to go out of their way to do something that, had they been mindful of themselves, not really concerned of what that other person was going through, they wouldn't have done without kindness. We're so thankful that we serve a kind God. Ephesians 2:7 says, the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. A kind person knows God's love. Again, where are you this morning when it comes to understanding God's love? Is God's love overflowing in your life? Or is it time to get back to the basics and realize, you know, I've slacked on scripture reading. I've slacked on my prayer life. I've slacked on my time of worship. And God and I, you know, we're not as tight as we used to be. Today's no better day than to begin that new relationship with Christ and become in love with him all over again. And I promise you, friends, as you fall in love with God, as you begin to understand God more and more, that love will not be able to be kept to yourself. For we know we could stand here with a vacuum cleaner, and that vacuum cleaner could run from now until the day you die, and you would never be able to suck up all of God's love. His love never ends. But there's times in our lives, there's struggles that we face. There's illnesses that are poured out upon us. There's death. And we wonder, God, where is that love? But friends, be encouraged. God's love never fails. God's love is always with you. And that's the greatest warm, fuzzy feeling, if you will, that we could ever experience. God's love is incomparable. God's love is so difficult to describe. But yet, he freely gives it to each one of us. It goes on to say, it does not envy. The Greek word translated envy means to burn with zeal. Literally, the sense is to be heated or to boil over with envy, hatred, or anger. One of the least favored comments we like to hear our children say is, I hate this or that. But how many times, if we look back upon this week, have we used that word hate? Perhaps not in the context of an individual, but perhaps in the context of something inanimate. I hate the way blank. I hate how blank. Think about that word for a moment. What you're saying, hate is the total opposite of love. It's rooted over in this word, envy. So the idea with not being envy is that love does not focus on personal desires. It's not eager to increase possessions. God's type of love is selfless, not selfish. I love what Proverbs 14:30 says. Envy rots the bones. So the next time you're tempted to be envious, you're tempted to have hatred, think about your bones rotting. What a disgusting sight, right? Nobody wants rotting bones. So let's be eager not to be envious. Instead, true love, God's love, rejoices when others are blessed. There would be no room for envy. It doesn't seek to benefit itself. It's content with what it has. It'd be interesting to do a survey this morning. How many of you are content with what you have? And it'd be interesting to note many of us would say our focus is on more. What else can I receive? But God has given us all the blessing we need in His love. Recognizing no matter what material possession we may have, it's never going to compare to God's love. So do yourself a favor. Stop searching for something that's going to bring you that same feeling that God's love brings. It's incomparable, friends. We can't replace God's love with anything materially in this world, no matter what you think may do so. It's always going to let you down. It goes on and says, it does not boast. Jesus, in his greatest commands, said to love your neighbors as yourself. And when he said that, he said to do that regardless if they have wronged you. No matter whether they embody every pet peeve that you didn't even realize you had until you met them. But friends, more importantly, love God with everything. No matter how busy you are. No matter how angry you are with Him. No matter how sick or tired or confused you may be in that season of life. The Greek word for boast means to brag or to point to oneself. In contrast to the kindness and patience mentioned in the beginning of the verse, boasting is not a mark of love. Paul's mention of boasting is significant, given his teaching against arrogance elsewhere in the epistle. If you remember from chapters 1 and 3 of 1 Corinthians, they were boasting about many things. They touted their allegiance to different apostles. They created division within the church. They were even critical of Paul. They boasted of their tolerance for immorality. They sued each other in court. Friends, real love does not boast. There's no arrogance in love. It's no different, the actions of the Corinthians. They're sometimes evident in today's believers. A Christian who exhibits godly love will not boast. And here's the reason why. It's simple. Love is focused on the loved one, not on oneself. Let me say that again. Love is focused on the loved one, not on one's self. You see, love turns the perspective outward. A person with God's type of love will magnify others, focus on their needs, and offer help with no thought of repayment or recognition. Little Swatara, I believe we excel at that. Continue doing so. But think about Paul for a moment. If anyone had a chance to boast. It was definitely Paul. But he chose not to be served, but he served in love and in humility. It follows along the same path that love is not proud, as the verse continues. You may remember William Penn, the founder of the colony of Pennsylvania. He wrote this in a book called No Cross, No Crown. He said, "A proud man then is a kind of glutton upon himself, for he is never satisfied with loving and admiring himself, whilst nothing else with him is worthy either of love or care." It's why love and pride are complete opposites. A person with godly love is not concerned with benefiting himself. The only thing love sees is the need. So what we're going to do is continue in this chapter next week, continue to identify what love looks like. But maybe this morning, when you look at the matters of your heart, you're not all that patient. Maybe there's one particular person you're not that patient with. And I encourage you, let today be the day to come before that person and say, "You know, I really haven't been all that patient with you. Can you forgive me?" And then work towards being able to be more patient. Maybe you're not as kind as you would like to be to some individuals. Today can be a new day. Imagine these characteristics of love unfolding in the believers' lives. How different church could be, how different our community could be. So might we commit not to be envious, boasting, or prideful. May we commit to loving like our God loves. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word. We know apart from love, we are nothing. But we know that you are in the business of making something out of nothing. And you characterize us by knowing your love that we might be love to others. So we pray, Father, you would help us to be patient. We pray, Father, you would help us to be kind. To not envy, to not boast, to not be proud. But Father, we just come before you. You know our hearts. You know the matters that we're dealing with. And we're asking you, Father, eagerly, to help us desire the greater, more excellent way of loving as you have loved. May this all be so in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen and amen. with your perfect love, which casts out fear and binds us together in that unity which you share with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, recognizing Jesus himself is the way of peace. Amen.